The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to talk about the issues you want to talk about. This is Barely Controlled Radio with your host, former Pittsburgh Steelers place kicker Jeff Reed. Jeff's got his opinions, but he knows you have some too, and he's ready to field them all. Now, here's Jeff Reed and Barely Controlled Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Barely Controlled Radio on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's great to be back. A week seems forever at first, but then it kind of goes by pretty quickly when you're planning for guests, especially a fantastic guest I have today who has taken time out of his extremely busy schedule as he gets ready not only for the World Championships, but the Olympics. So I'd like to welcome on, not going to waste any time, the title of this radio show. I titled it today, One Dedicated Olympian, and it's because it's what he is. What's up, Ryan Lochte? How you doing, man?
What's up? How you doing?
That's funny. Now, I was going to get to that later, but since you started the show with that, where'd that come from?
I don't know. It just happened one day. Instead of saying yeah, it just came out. I said yeah, and everyone looked at me funny. They're like, "Wait, what the heck did you just say?" I was like, "Yeah," and then I don't know. I kind of just stuck with it.
Well, it's kind of one of those things that everyone has said that before, just kind of like when they're really happy something went well, yeah, something like that. But they don't realize that now that's your term, and any time it's said after that, did you patent that?
Yes, I did.
I'm about to say you should have if you didn't already, but that's good. I kind of speak my own language, but nobody understands it, so there's no reason to patent it because they don't speak it anyway. But anyway, man, this first segment, I want our listeners, there's a lot of listeners out there, and everyone was so excited as I put it on social media everywhere, and I know your manager did awesome work, and she really contributed. And, you know, I just wanted to let everyone for this hour get to know you and see which direction you're headed, because obviously we know you're decorated. You have gold medals. You have silver medals. You have bronze medals. You've had your disappointments, but, you know, you've done just about everything that – I mean, I have Super Bowls, and I think you're I'm starstruck talking to you because I didn't represent the country, you know, in a world football game. I represented, you know, my city, so that was cool. But anyway, growing up as a child, what was your favorite thing to participate in? I mean, when we're young, we all say, "I want to be a blank when I grow up." What did you think about that? What did you say in that sentence?
You know, the funny thing is, I said I wanted to be an accountant.
Accountant?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it was just because when I was younger, I loved money. So I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be an accountant.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird? Damn.
Actually, that's actually pretty cool, though, because that sounds intelligent.
No, I don't want to be an accountant.
Well, you don't have to worry about that now.
Yeah, I'm definitely blessed and humbled and fortunate that I was able to do a certain sport that I love and that I love to do every day, and that became my job.
Yeah, that's it is pretty awesome, and not only is it your job, but you're damn good at it. And you know, when I ask you that question, every time I ask you a guest a question, I have an answer for myself because I want everyone to be able to say, "All right, well, Jeff had something pretty ignorant when I was younger. I wanted to be a garbage man, and it wasn't because I wanted to stink, but I wanted to wear loose clothing and hang that back. That's back in the day when you could actually hang on the back of the trash can and go for a ride, get some fresh air, kind of stuff." That's why I wanted to be a garbage man. But anyway, we'll move on. So how early in your life did you start swimming competitively, knowing that you are now, been to the Olympics three different times in Athens, Beijing, and London?
Well, my swimming career basically started in upstate New York. I mean, that's where I was born. And I started competitively swimming when I was 8 years old. So about 22 years now, I've been doing it. But, I mean, growing up, I was a little kid. I mean, I just wanted to have fun. Swimming was just one of the sports that I did. I was really into soccer, basketball, baseball, lacrosse, like you name it, I was doing it. I didn't really get good in swimming until right about my first year of college.
Right, you're a Florida Gator, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I knew that, but I had to clear it up for some people that didn't follow you or didn't research you or don't know you or of you. It's funny you say that, and I was reading while I was doing research. This had nothing to do with you, but it was talking about competitive swimming. It says that people that are swimmers that are actually in the Olympics or, you know, compete on a regular basis, when they get in a regular pool now with random people, they get kind of pissed off about the splashing and the all the shenanigans that go on in the pool. Are you one of the guys that fits in with the kids, or are you kind of like, all right, I'm getting out, these kids are out of control?
No, I mean, I think that's the best part is like being able to go to like a random pool and just getting, like, I love just getting in like a regular lane with some random little kids. And then they don't really understand until like I start going flying by them, and they're like, "Wait, what the heck just happened? Who is this?" And then after that, they're like, they're just in like awe.
Yeah, I'm that guy at the normal, I don't know, the public pool or whatever. There's always a couple lanes for swimmers, but we want to play like volleyball over the ropes. And then we get yelled at, the whistle gets blown at us, and then, you know, and then we always get mad at those people that want to swim laps. Like, who swims laps for fun? That's what we always say as people that aren't swimmers. But it's just funny, man, that you said that. And I would be shocked if I saw an Olympian swim, and to be honest with you, I actually went to school with Katie Hathaway. I'm sure you've heard of her.
All right. Yeah, or
know her probably. But that was my claim to fame from East Mecklenburg High School here in Charlotte. But what events, I know the answer to this, but it's only through research. What events do you take part in, and what is your favorite and least favorite?
Honestly, I don't really have a least favorite, just because I love swimming. I love any stroke, any distance. It doesn't matter. Like, I love to swim, and so I don't really have a least. I like them all. But I'd say probably one of my favorites, the one that I'm known for, is the 200 individual medley, which is you do all four strokes in one single race.
Okay, and 200 is how many times back and forth in a pool for us people that are not swimmers?
In the like Olympic-sized pool,
yeah,
it's just going down. It's just going down one lap of each stroke.
Okay. Nice. Interesting.
I think I like that the best because it's the hardest. Because you can't be just good at one stroke. You have to be good at all four strokes. And being able to
separates.
Put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard.
And what is your, I mean, obviously you're good at all the strokes, but what is your strength? Like, do you have to do them in a certain order, or do you end with your strength? How does that work?
You always start out with butterfly. Lately, especially since I moved to Charlotte now, butterfly has become one of my stronger strokes. Then you go into backstroke, which I've always been a really good backstroker. That's where I got my first individual gold medal at the Olympics. So backstroke is my strong stroke, and then breaststroke, which I'm terrible at. I'm still trying to work on it. And then you finish up with freestyle.
You can't be terrible, or you wouldn't be winning that event. So maybe you're not the best in the world at it, but you're doing something. Those other three, you must be on top because you're doing something right. Now, this is kind of a funny question, but how much water do you accidentally drink on average at a meet when you're competing?
You know, I hate drinking water.
Like in general, like you don't even like drinking water.
Yeah, I'd rather drink like the Mountain Dew than water.
Oh, it's so bad for you.
I know, but I like the taste.
Well, I mean, I guess you can do what you want to, right?
But yeah, I mean, you accidentally like drink water every time you swim, but I don't know, maybe a couple cups of water, of chlorine water every time you get in the pool by accident.
Yeah, I'm just trying to imagine for myself, because I like to go in pools, deep pools, and then just tread water for a workout. But like, I couldn't imagine, and this has nothing to do with the drinking water part, but just the shape you have to be in to swim at the speed and the skill that you guys do. But as you Team Elite and the rest of the swimmers from around the world get ready for the grandest of stages in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, obviously in the Olympics next year, go in detail about what kind of training it takes to swim at the Olympic level. I watched a video on you doing some kind of strongman, crazy looking workout, which I've playing football, even though I was a place kicker. I've done a lot of intense, insane, sometimes ignorant workouts just to push myself. But, you know, your strength coach, and I don't remember his name in that video, he said only about 5% of swimmers train like you do. And what does it take, besides obviously being an elite swimmer, off or out of the pool, I'm about to say off the field, out of the pool, to be and get you where you are today?
I mean, I think the reason why it was Matt Delancey that said it, my strength coach, and I think the reason why he said there's only like about 5% that can train like me is because I don't have a pain tolerance. I like putting my body through pain. And that's how you get better. Everyone's going to get tired at one point. It's when you get to that certain point where your body is just dead. Like, I use that as energy and be like, you know what? I can keep going. And I keep pushing my body even harder and harder every day. And I keep doing this and it just becomes easier. That's why I can push my body harder than anyone else in the pool, in and out of the pool, because I'm used to it. I've done it for so many years and I want more.
Yeah, you're exactly right about the pain tolerance. I mean, I do have a pretty high tolerance of pain as well. Maybe not comparable to what you're talking about, because I don't know. I mean, we're different. But
yeah,
when you want to be elite and you want to be the best, you can't stop when you feel something. Oh, that hurts. Oh, this hurts. You can't. You bend, you don't break, kind of thing. So I can definitely relate to what you're talking about. But in that workout, it was called the strongman workout. I saw you doing sprints. This comes after 2 hours of swimming, I believe is what it said in the video. But you had sprints, you had box jumps, which were pretty high. You had a pretty solid vertical there. You were pulling a 500-pound chain or something along those lines. And, of course, the explosive weights and exercise and then boxing to finish. How often do you do a workout that intense? I guess, how often do you do that? Is it more of an off-season kind of thing, or how do you back off, so to say, when you have a competition coming up?
Well, in season, it's kind of like football. You have like your in-season games, and then at the very end, you have the Super Bowl kind of thing. So swimming is kind of like the same way. We have swim meets once a month, and they're just kind of like tune-up meets to get you ready for like World Championships or the Olympics. So in season, I'm kind of just beat up all the time. I don't take off. I just train my body, and then I get ready when the time's right. So doing that kind of workout right after a swim practice, a two-hour swim practice, I usually do that on the last day of my training for that week just to cap it off.
Right.
And then I start it back up again for the next week.
Yeah, that's, I mean, for those out there that don't understand what is being, he doesn't just show up at a Olympic-sized pool and compete and win big. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And the good thing about it is when you're done, years down the road, and you look back, you're going to be able to say you did everything you could to be your best. So that's cool. But I talked to your manager a little bit, and she mentioned some altitude training in Colorado Springs. You did that for 3 weeks. I don't exactly know what that entails. I don't think I've ever done that. All I've done is play a couple football games against the Denver Broncos. So can you explain the difference in altitude training versus just hardcore training?
Well, I mean, you're in altitude, so anything you do, like just walking up a flight of stairs, you are winded. Like, you're gassed. You're like, what the heck happened? Did I just run like 8 miles? It's hard. And so swimming at that kind of altitude, it's swimming one lap where if I swim here in Charlotte, one lap, I'm just like easy peasy, like, oh, this is a piece of cake. But out there in altitude, swimming one lap is like, man, did I just swim for like 2 hours straight? Like, why am I so tired? So it makes you a lot more tired to train. But, I mean, if you keep pushing your body over and over, I was out there for, I want to say, 24 days. I got in shape really good. When I came back, I've been having practices that have been unbelievable. And, you know, I'm just back in, I'm back to my normal self, how I was leading up to 2012 Olympics.
That's awesome. Now, when you're doing altitude training, is it mainly swimming, or is it basically doing the training you were doing anyway, only in higher altitudes? So when you come back down to reality, as you said, in Charlotte, North Carolina, or someone on somewhere on the East Coast, it's you're in that much better shape.
Well, definitely being out there in altitude, I basically focused on swimming out there because I just wanted to get a lot of yardage in, get my endurance back up. So that's basically what my main focus was. But I mean, I did lifting out there and everything, and I started back up my strongman stuff, like lifting tires, doing stuff like that, box jumps, because last year I took the whole year off of it just because of my knee. I was in injury, so I couldn't be pushing my body the way I wanted it to. But now that my knee's all healed, I'm getting back into my normal groove.
Now, when you, when we're talking about these competitions you're involved in, I know you just finished up, today's Wednesday, just a handful of days ago, actually, you're in Mesa, Arizona. Were you over, I saw the results, because everyone can see those, and it's big news. And obviously you're the biggest name in swimming right now. Now, were you satisfied with your overall results and how you performed?
Oh, no, I'm never satisfied. It doesn't matter if I got 8 gold medals, broke 8 world records. It doesn't matter. I'll never be satisfied just because that's just how my mind works. I'm never satisfied, and I always feel like no matter what, I could do better.
That's a great attitude to have, but there's sometimes you have to look in the mirror and not necessarily be arrogant. I don't mean that, but the huge confidence you have to have, knowing where you started and where you are. You kind of have to give yourself a pat on the back. Doesn't mean you literally have to do that or talk about it, but I know as an athlete, when I went 5 for 5 in a game, and maybe the fifth one was a game winner, I wanted to make 6, or I wanted to, you know, they weren't straight enough for me or something. It's kind of like what you're talking about. Or you can win a gold medal or break a world record, but you could have been faster, kind of thing. So, you know, when you talk about that, I can definitely relate. But then again, you have to realize, as the competitor you are, man, you've done awesome, and it's only the beginning, even though it's kind of right in the middle for you. We're going to hit the break. We'll be right back with more Ryan Lochte. We'll talk about some upcoming competitions and a little bit about Michael Phelps. And also, if you have any questions for myself or Ryan, call in. It's 866-472-5788. Call on in. We'll bring you in. You can ask either one of us questions. We can try to keep them intelligent, but if they're not, it's okay. We can have fun with you. We'll be right back on Barely Controlled Radio. Thank you.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. The way we do banking today continues to evolve. No longer is it just brick and mortar locations or traditional bankers' hours. Today, banking is 24/7. It's in the home. It's on the go. It's digital. Tune in to Breaking Banks with Brett King for a look at how traditional banking as we know it has changed due to a loss of trust. changing economic conditions and consumer behavior, government involvement, and of course, technology. What does it all mean? Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're listening to Barely Controlled Radio with Jeff Reed. We want to hear from you at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to jeff@thejeffreedshow.com. Now, back to Barely Controlled Radio.
Welcome back to Barely Controlled Radio, live with Jeff Reed, your host, and my special guest, Ryan Locke, the Olympic swimmer. I don't think I need to introduce you like that. People should know. If they don't know, then they shouldn't be listening. But, you know, we talked a little bit about Mesa, and and for people that are just tuning in, you said that, you know, you had some great results, but you're never satisfied because you can always, in your mind, you can always do better. I wanted to go back to one thing I forgot to ask about the training. Now, you may not know everyone's routine, but I know swimmers are pretty close, especially when you go to the Olympics, because you're kind of on the same team, even though you want to win all the events that you're in, of course. But do you ever see anybody else train like you do, or do they kind of, you know, stick to swimming a lot, or just, you know, minor kind of workouts?
I mean, I'm sure there's some people. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I know I'm the only swimmer that does the strongman kind of workouts. I don't really know anyone else that drags tires, throw kegs, or does tire flips. I don't know anyone that does that. And I think that's what is unique for me, and it's just something, it's different. And I've been doing it for years now, and it's just been helping me out a lot.
Now, do the your teammates, so to say, have different strength coaches, or do you kind of all have the same strength coach, and you just, I mean, the strength coach does what you want him to do, or her what she wants to do, or what's the deal with that?
I mean, that my strength coach was Matt Delancey. I was with him when I was over swimming at University of Florida, and okay. He's been my strength coach for like 11 years. But up until last year when I moved to Charlotte, my strength coach has changed, and now it's a Darren Tyson.
I got you.
So. Yeah, so it's just changed. That's when I moved to Charlotte, I stopped doing the strongman stuff for a year. I just wanted to take a break just because of my knee, my injuries, stuff like that. But now that I'm getting back on it, it's been fun.
Well, you probably feel, and the only reason I can kind of assume this is because I've been there before. I'm not in the shape you're in, or nor did I ever have a six pack, and still don't, by the way. But when you take some time off of such a strenuous exercise, then you get back into it. It kind of stinks to get back into it, but then you feel that much stronger. So that's probably where you are, would be my guess, considering you said you're in the shape like you were about to go to the Olympics, which is really cool. Now we have a caller on the line, Albert from California. We'll bring him on here and see what he has to say. Maybe he has a question for one of us. Go ahead, Albert.
Hey, buddy. I do have a question for Ryan Locke. Ryan, if you guys are in the pool for like up to 8 hours, I hear you guys consume about 10,000 calories a day. Can you talk us through like what sample meals are? Because that has got to be the best.
he took one of my questions, but go ahead.
Well, definitely. I think swimming, that's why I love swimming. It's probably one of the hardest sports to do because not many people know you're using every muscle in your body. So even you don't think it, you're in the water, but you're sweating just as much as you're doing if you're running a marathon or something. Like, you're sweating all the time. So you're burning calories nonstop. So you have to put those calories back into your body. So that's why you hear all those things about swimmers. They can eat like 8,000 to 10,000 calories a day, because that's true. Like, we have to be eating nonstop, just because we're burning calories nonstop in the pool. So, I mean, a typical, I don't even know. I would have to say, like, we're just eating nonstop, like peanut butter, jelly sandwiches, like almost every 45 minutes. Instead of getting a couple servings of like eggs, we're getting like 8 or 9 servings. Like, we just take a normal meal and just multiply it 2 or 3 times.
Yeah. Well, that's got to be cool, you know, to do that. And I just hope that, you know, when you retire from swimming, you don't get G-rides from, you know, trying to keep up with that same eating pace, huh?
Oh, after 2008 Olympics, I kind of took about 3 or 4 months off, but I've noticed that I was still eating the exact same, and I put on some weight.
Yeah, that's gotta be cool. Well, hey guys, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Albert, for the call.
Yeah.
Now, Ryan, when you're talking about that, you know, my mother always said, if I was just at a pool, you know, eating a snack, we got to wait 30 minutes to an hour before you get back in the pool, because I actually felt sick when I would eat and then get in the pool. Now, I'm not saying you guys eat 10,000 calories and then jump right in, but in the 10,000 calories, like, you know, that can be, like you said, instead of 2 or 3 eggs, it's 9 or 10. Maybe you eat a whole pizza. It's not extremely healthy food, correct?
I still cheat. I mean, on Fridays, ever since I was 8 years old, every Friday I have pizza and wings. And I've done that. It's like a family tradition, and I keep doing it every Friday since I was 8 years old. So, like, I do have, like, cheat days. I mean, I love potato chips, so I eat those. But I try not to eat the junk food, stuff like that. Because what I've noticed is, I wish I knew this when I was younger, is what you do put in your body has an effect on your performance, your overall attitude. So if I knew this back in the day, like, I'd be just a 10 times better athlete now.
Well, you're exactly right. And, you know, when you diet for like a month and a half, 2 months, 3 months, whatever it may be, then all of a sudden you're like, well, you know, I lost this weight, I feel better. And then you go back to eating crap for just a week, you're miserable inside. And so you act that way. You're exactly right. And I actually date a health coach and a chef. So, you know, if I eat a piece of candy, you know, it's like grounds for breaking up, but I know exactly what you're talking about. And you become very moody just by eating something that tastes good, but your body hates it. But yeah, that's cool. Albert brought that question up, because that was one of my questions. I think on the last Olympics, the announcer, I forgot who it was talking about, you know, what you guys were eating, but not, you know, right before competition, but a couple hours before. And I was enamored by the fact that you're going to be able to swim that well. You guys have like very limited body fat, and you're eating that. So now, it's pretty hard to consume that many calories if you're eating healthy, though, right? Eating your greens and your veggies and your fruits. So
you still need to get, like, there's certain things, like right after practice, like, you need to get some protein in your system. So, like, just little things, like, instead of regular bacon, you get turkey bacon, or a regular burger, you get a turkey burger, like something like that. That's more healthy. You can still get all the calories you need, just in a healthier way.
Now, just a personal question that people are probably wondering. What do you like on your pizza on Fridays?
You know, I'm a simple guy. Just, you know, a meat lover's
pizza. We all say
pizza.
That, and we're liars. Go ahead.
You know, just a cheese pizza, I usually, every Friday, I usually just get like a large cheese pizza and 20 wings.
And you throw it all down yourself with no problem.
Oh, easily, yeah.
And then you wake up with two extra abs that you can actually, you know, see your abs. That's amazing to me. Those kind of people like you frustrate me. If I eat salads for 2 weeks, I'll lose 3 pounds and I feel a little better, but you can't tell. I mean, it's just my clothes can tell. Anyway, back to the competition when I was talking about. Of course, we talked about Mesa already. That's in the past. But before we get to the Summer Olympics in Brazil, 2006, the summer of 2016, you compete in the World Championships in, is it Kazan? I don't know how to pronounce
Kazan,
that.
Yeah.
Okay, in Russia, from July 24th of this year to August 9th, which is actually not too far away. When does the intensity of your training slow down a little bit as the World Championships come near?
Usually, you want to start slowing down and start. It's not really like you're slowing down. You're actually getting faster, but you're doing less yardage. And that usually happens about a month leading up to the actual World Championships. So about a month out, around probably June, I'll start backing down my yardage. But when you back down your yardage and you start backing down on weights and everything, your body starts getting rest. And your body will start becoming, you'll become faster in the water. So that's when you start focusing on technique, doing little things, making your turns, your starts better. That's when your speed comes into play.
Now, I mean, this is probably maybe you can kind of categorize this as a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it because every question not asked is stupid to me. So who do you expect to give you a run for your money in the events that you are obviously favored in? And this is not just the Americans. I'm talking about from around the world in these World Championships coming up.
Definitely the name that pops out in everyone's mind when it comes to swimming is Michael Phelps. He will be there. He's probably one of the hardest racers I've ever had go up against. He'll race you. It doesn't matter what stroke, what event. He'll be there, and he'll race you to the finish. He's one of them, but it's not just one person you have to look out for. There's so many young athletes, young swimmers that are learning, that are getting faster every year, and they get younger. So, I mean, they're all over. All over from Japan, Australia, China, like you name it. Like they're just young swimmers that are up and coming, and you just got to be on your game at all times.
I'm going to get to Michael Phelps talk just a little bit. I don't want to harp on it because I want to bring it out in a positive way, because I think a lot of people, you know, they write articles and they create stuff that's not even there. I mean, you guys are teammates and I'm sure you're friends, but I'll get into that in a second. But, you know, there's one thing that I was always curious about with swimming. I mean, you're in your little Speedos. You guys, you know, you're looking good out there. Is there any smack talk or anything like that? I don't know if you can necessarily do that in a pool, but maybe before the competitions, you talking crap to anybody or kind of keep your mouth shut and just compete?
It's basically you keep your mouth shut and you just compete. We have this thing called a ready room, and it's like where the top eight people that are going into the final heat, you sit in a room and before they call you out, before you march on to your blocks, and it's you just getting ready, getting prepared for your race. So everyone has their headphones on and they're just quiet. They're just focusing on themselves. And then you see me come in there and I'm just like, doo-doo-doo, like just joking around with everyone, like hitting them upside the head, being like, what's up? Like, how you guys doing? How was yesterday? Or like, what'd you guys eat for dinner? Like anything but swimming. I'm talking about just goofing off, like just being myself.
So, that's good, because there always needs to be. That's what I brought to the locker room as a place kicker. Most kickers, to be honest, are pretty weird dudes. And I was actually appointed a captain for two of my years in Pittsburgh. And I think it was, I was pretty productive on the field. But I kept the guys like on the sideline when people were pointing fingers or pissed or whatever it may be, or made a fumble or threw a pick or whatever happened. I was the guy that kind of picked everybody up. I mean, when it was time for me to do my thing as far as kicking, I focused. But you know, it's for me to relax means to joke around. So that was kind of cool. You said that because I can kind of relate to that. Now,
yeah.
Back to Michael Phelps. The media portrays you guys as enemies way more than I see possible. What's your relationship like with Michael?
You know, I think we have the best rivalry in sports, just because he is the best, and I've been going second behind him for so many years, and then when I started training even harder, like, I surpassed. So now me and him, we're battling back and forth, but the best thing about our rivalry is no matter what, win or lose, right after the race, we're going to be back to, like, yeah, we want to go on the blocks, we want to win, but win or lose, we're going to be friends again. And we're not going to let a race dictate of how we feel towards each other.
Right.
So I think that's why it's perfect, because win or lose, like, we're going to be the same people at the end of the race.
Right. And that's the way it should be. But I've been misportrayed in the media before. And, you know, just because you're saying, yeah, and having a good time, and Phelps being the so-called most decorated Olympian, of course he is, because you just look at the proof. But they portray you guys as, yeah, competitors. You want to beat him. He wants to beat you. Of course, that's how it should be, regardless of what country you compete in or what event you compete in. But I know deep down inside there's a very huge mutual respect. And, you know, once the younger man, you were once the younger man in the shadows of Phelps. But as your bio says, it's not just somebody writing these words. You're the face of international swimming. And that's why I feel so honored to be talking to you right now on my show. But what has changed, if anything, with that so-called title, even though you don't call yourself that, of course?
I definitely don't call myself that.
Should start.
Honestly, I want to change the sport of swimming. I love swimming so much. And, you know, every Olympics, swimming is the most watched sport out of the whole Olympic Games.
No doubt.
And so everyone's just glued to the TV watching swimming. And I want to change that. Like, I want to make it swimming bigger than what it is, because we have swimming like world championships that don't get televised just as much as how it is at the Olympics. So, like, why can't we change it? Like, I want to bring swimming into people's living rooms. I want to make it bigger. I want to see it, like, on ESPN, like, once a month, like, doing stuff like that. So that's why, like, I do weird things. Like, I have crazy shoes. I made up that word, Gia, like, stuff like that, just to get swimming out there, because it's, like, it's part of my personality. And I'm just trying to just get swimming out there.
Yeah, but how could you possibly, I mean, I know you can't do it yourself. It takes a lot of people, but how could you possibly make swimming? Because I love watching swimming in the Olympics, but I don't ever see it. Like you said, I don't see it enough on TV to really get into it as a sport I really follow. Besides your, you know, your personality and the things you do and your sayings and whatever else, what can everyone else do to help you, to help each other get swimming on the map for good, not just every few years?
I mean, it's doing things that I'm doing. It's getting more swimmers involved, getting their personalities out there more. Because, I mean, everyone thinks, like, swimmers, they're like, oh, they're so straightforward. They're like, eat, swim, sleep. That's it.
Right.
But that's not the case. Like, we have so much more that we do. It's just people, are they willing to get their personalities out there and start doing different things? And more swimmers do that, people are going to start catching on and be like, wait, this guy's interesting. Like, what's going on with this person?
Well, you know, the one thing I learned when I was in college as a scrub walk-on football team, football guy, the swim team I hung out with a lot. And the swim team at Chapel Hill is pretty darn good. I assume they still are, but they were really good then. And they always, you guys always stuck together. They looked like everyone was so laid back and chill when the other athletes or, you know, the lacrosse teams fighting the baseball team. It's just ignorant stuff.
Yeah.
Football players weren't allowed in the frat parties. But you guys are so laid back and chill, so I hung out with a lot of swimmers. So I see what you're talking about. And it's just, you don't see the crazy drunks. You don't see, unless you're maybe in a private setting, you don't see the hating on each other. You just see friendly people that are good at what they do. And I think also with the kind of training you do, if you could get more people involved in that, because they're not going to get an advantage on you because that's what you do to get right. I think that would make national news and world news, because I never knew a swimmer would train like that until I had you on my show. Anyway, we're gonna hit a quick break. We'll be back to end this thing and talk a little bit about charities Ryan's involved with, his sponsor, which we could all guess, and of course some random questions to get to know Ryan better. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
On the morning of August 5th, 1962, the world awoke to the shocking news that Marilyn Monroe, one of the biggest icons in Hollywood history, had been found dead. What really happened that night? Join Nina Bosky as she seeks to uncover both the life and tragic death of Marilyn Monroe and what keeps her so popular over 50 years later. Good Night Marilyn Radio, live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You're listening to Barely Controlled Radio with Jeff Reed. We want to hear from you at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to jeff@thejeffreedshow.com. Now, back to Barely Controlled Radio.
Welcome back to the best radio show on the Voice America Radio, internet radio. Actually, I'll say on the Variety Channel because that's what I'm on. I don't want to hate on too many people. I'm back with my special guest, Ryan Lochte, to finish this third and final segment out. Once again, if you'd like to weigh in or chime in or whatever you want to call it in, call 866-472-5788, and we'll try to get you on the line. We have about 13 or 14 minutes left. Now, we're talking about Michael Phelps when we close that last segment out, and I want to move on to some more stuff that you get involved in, which to an athlete is very important. But, you know, although you're not the most decorated Olympian yet, because I say yet because you will be, that's my confidence in you and your confidence in yourself. You want to take a minute to give your blue chip sponsors a shout out, because I'm sure they're listening.
Yeah, definitely. You know, my biggest sponsor right now is definitely Speedo. I've been there since I went pro, which is back in 2016. They're the company that I've stuck with for this long. And what can I say? They make the fastest suits, and I'm just happy to be in one of their suits.
You need to go ahead and see if they can fit one for a 235-pound guy, because that'd be attractive.
That would be me.
you have to get me one made, so when I go to the pool and stuff, as long as I'm not with anybody I know, I can embarrass myself. For the listeners out there, Lochte has 11 medals from his three Olympic appearances, and obviously he'll be in the Olympics next year in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And hopefully I will be there watching you. I'm thinking about really taking it serious and going to Brazil to watch. That'd be really cool. But anyway, tell me about what people can find on your website. I know what they can find, but tell me a little bit about RyanLochte.com.
Just me. My appearances that I do, the charities that I work for, my swimming career, my stats, You can all pretty much find that, the little segments, like little YouTube clips that I'm in. You can find that all on my website. But one of the biggest things that you'll find on there is the charities that I work for. Because
right, and you know, as we get into those, this is I've seen you work for the Parent Project Muscular Dystrophy Charity and the Mac Crutchfield Foundation. Do you want to? And I also will talk about after that something you're going to do with Ryan Seacrest, which is pretty cool. A little bit of insight. But what do those two charities represent, and why are you such a huge part of those?
You know, Parent Project Muscular Dystrophy is something that after 2008 Olympics, I wanted to give back to the, like, I just wanted to give back in some way. So I was looking for a charity to find to get involved with. And my uncle, his brother died from muscular dystrophy, and I was reading about it. And one of the it's fatal for all men. And what I found out is the only activity that they can do is swimming. So I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is perfect. Like, how do I get involved with this? So I contacted the people and I got involved, and they told me, they're like, well, we have to get this bill passed to get more funding for it and everything. I was like, well, hey, you think I could try? Like, can I go to Capitol Hill? Can I talk to all these people, all the senators, and try to get this bill passed? They're like, I mean, sure, because they've got denied every year, every time they try to do that. So when I went in there, I mean, yes, I did bring my gold medal to help.
Why not?
But I mean, I went to Capitol Hill and I talked to all these senators. And right before Obama took presidency, Bush, he signed the bill. And so I was like, holy crap. Like, I'm changing people's lives. I just got more funding for this. And I swear, like, to me, that was better than getting a gold medal. I mean,
that's
changing
awesome.
People's lives.
You instantly, through your stardom and your passion to help others in a very unfortunate situations, you instantly changed lives with that. I could say I've been a part of a lot of charity events, but I don't think a bill would be passed if Jeff Reed walked up to some important people. So hats off to you for that. Now, I also see that you're the spokesperson for the Mac Crutchfield Foundation, and I did read that it was named after a 12-year-old swimmer who drowned basically during a thunderstorm in the summer of 2008. You want to talk a little bit more about that foundation?
Because they're hosting a banquet, because when he died, they were hosting a banquet of memory to him and everything, and so they asked, because it was in Tallahassee, Florida, where they're having the banquet. And since University of Florida was just like a couple hours, they came to the swim team and asked if anyone would like to talk or be just like a representative there to show support. So I was like, yeah, of course, I'll do it. And when I walked in, like, the whole banquet, the family, the Crutchfields, they opened me with open arms. They started crying. They just made me a part of their family so quick. And they're telling me the story about, stories about, their son that died. And just, I was just so intrigued that I was like, I want to be a part of this. Like, this is what I want. Like, I want this. Like, I want to help you guys out, just because they had no reason to open up, like, give me a hug, like, tell me anything, right. Like, but they did. And so just so moved by them that I was like, I want to be aboard. Like, tell me what I can do to help. And since then, I've been working really close with them, and they're kind of like my second family.
Well, they could probably feel the passion and the atmosphere you brought into the room where you were without you even speaking, because it's like, pets can sense if you're scared of them, so they try to attack you. But if you just, you know, come right in and you don't care, then they sit with you. That's kind of the feeling I get from that. And when you walk into any place, you're kind of a big deal, man. So people kind of like that part about you too. I think athletes, we forget sometimes, and I say we as if I'm still playing, but, you know, that's the greedy side of me. We tend to forget our role as athletes at times, even though, yes, it's great to make game-winning field goals and win Super Bowls and win gold medals for your country and swim your tail off and do this and that. But one of our jobs is to give back, whether it's financially or time or whatever it may be. And it's awesome that you could easily be the guy that is standoffish and just competes and wins medals and keeps winning and does nothing for the community, but you're totally the opposite. And that's the biggest thing out of this hour. If anyone learned anything, the big thing is you're involved with a lot of charity work and a lot of giving back, and that's huge. So I commend you for that. Now, you do have something next month with Ryan Seacrest, the Ryan Seacrest Foundation. What are you doing in California?
No, it's here in Charlotte, actually.
See, I made that up.
we have a swim meet that's here next month here in Charlotte, and Ryan Seacrest at the same time. He's coming and he's going to the hospital and doing just like a visit, what he does with his foundation, and going around and seeing children, seeing sick children, and just meeting with them and doing that. And they asked me if I wanted to like tag along and be a part of that. I was like, oh my God, of course. Like,
why not?
I did that a couple of years ago when I went to go see children at the hospital, and it just moved me. It's just, you're just like, you want to be a part of something like that just because it's like, you want to help them out. And when Ryan Seacrest asked me to do it, I'd be like, oh heck yeah, I'm all aboard. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing that and meeting the children and just tagging along and being a part of their lives.
Well, if there's anything, you have my number, your manager has my number. If there's anything I can get involved with, and as far as giving back or shaking hands or taking pictures or bringing my rings around kids or anything, I'd love to be a part of it as well, because I am local here in Charlotte. But
yeah,
I want to end this. I know you did a very special feature with a Make-A-Wish kid, and that's, I've been involved in that stuff too, man, and that's kind of heartfelt, and you kind of want to cry, but you can't, kind of thing. But I wanted to ask you to end this interview with you. I want people to find out a little bit about you as we have about 5 minutes left. Besides swimming, and these are just funny questions, you don't have to go in depth. Besides swimming, what other Olympic sport do you think you are capable of competing in? You don't have to win, but you're capable of competing in, if any, summer or winter.
I definitely have to pick either snowboarding or basketball.
Like, you really think you could play for the Olympic team in basketball and not get swatted out of the gym?
I mean, I mean, that's when one of my first scholarships was for basketball. I love basketball, and I just know how my work ethic is, that if I stuck with basketball, who knows, I probably could have made the NBA and went pretty far.
Well, good for you. You must have been damn good at it. Who is the most important person or the biggest inspiration in your life currently?
I definitely have to say my mother.
Good choice.
She's been through rough times, and she's stuck there with me, like, through thick and thin. She's been my biggest supporter, and she always will be.
That's awesome. I'm really tight with my mother as well. These last five questions, they're quick hits. We have about 3 minutes left. It's called the extra point. Hence, I was a kicker, so that's what I call that for. The motto I always use on my show is, you are what you think, because as you've already described in this last 50 minutes, that, you know, if you think big things and you dream big things, they can happen. So these last five questions are just whatever comes to your mind first. The first question I have for you is, how would you like to be remembered?
A humble, laid-back guy that is always trying to put a smile on people's faces.
All right. Fair enough. Number two, name an item on your bucket list.
Skydiving.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, but I'm still kind of scared to do it. Tough to admit that, but, you know, I'm right there with you. Number three, well, we already answered this because I didn't go over my notes. It says, where did you get the phrase Jeff from? Well, you already patented that and you got that. So we'll move on to number four. what is your biggest strength as an individual? And it doesn't have to be with swimming.
I'd have to say caring. I have a big heart, and I want everyone to be happy at all times. So I have a big heart.
All right. That's fair enough as well. And as far as a weakness, do you have any weaknesses that maybe you can let slip out?
I trust too many people.
Man, it sounds like me talking. All right, and I end it like this always. Who is your favorite NFL team? And I'm asking that because of my past.
Ooh, Vikings.
Okay, I'm not going to ask why because they're not very good, so there must be ties there. What pops into your head when you hear the name Jeff Reed?
Kicking phenom.
Oh, look at that. Just don't say anything else, man. We'll stop with that. I'd like to thank you again, Ryan. Thanks to the face of international swimming, even though he won't call himself that, Ryan Lochte. What are your Twitter, Instagram, and social media handles you want anyone to know?
Definitely follow me. It's on Twitter and Instagram. They're the same thing. It's just at Ryan Lochte.
Simple enough. Best of luck in your upcoming world championships. Stay healthy. Don't hurt yourself training, that's for sure. Next week, my guest is a country music singer, songwriter on the rise, Tiffany Ashton. Have a great evening, everybody. Happy hump day. And Ryan, you got to give a special shout out. It's my sister's 39th birthday today, man.
Well, happy 39th birthday. Here's a big Gia.
Gia. All right, thanks, man. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
That's all the time we've got for today. Barely Controlled Radio can be heard live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you'll join Jeff Reed for another great show next week.